God for his goodness and his love and his mercy towards me. I want to thank him for my pastor. I thank God for you. I thank God for your family. I thank God for 79, 71, the saints of God in general, ministers, officers, everyone. God bless you tonight. I want to give God thanks for those who are online from near and far, those who desire to listen to God's word and to adhere to the word of God. You are our honored guest. We bless God for you tonight. And certainly God is just a good God. Sorry. I cannot tell you about the goodness of God or to inject it in your spirit the way I would like to. But when I say God is a good God, I actually know what I'm talking about. Some people say God is a good God because they have a good job. They get some money. They get some things that are beneficial to this earthly life. But I thank God for salvation. My God, if it wasn't for his salvation, I don't know what would happen to me in life. Praise the Lord Jesus. But here I am tonight, certainly giving God thanks, and God bless you all. We're going to share tonight the word of God. I'll be asking you to turn with me your Bibles to 1 Samuel 15, 1 to 9. 1 Samuel 15, 1 to 9. I'll read from the NLT in Jesus' name. One day, Samuel said to Saul, "It was the Lord who told me to anoint you as king of his people, Israel. Now listen to this message from the Lord. This is what the Lord of Heaven's army has declared. I have decided to settle accounts with the nation of Amalek for opposing Israel when they came from Egypt. Now go and completely destroy the entire Amalekite nation, men, women, children, babies, cattle, sheep, goats, camels, and donkeys." So Saul mobilized his army and at Telaim. There were 200,000 soldiers from Israel and 10,000 men from Judah. Then Saul and his army went to a town of the Amalekites and lay in wait in the valley. Saul sent a warning to the Canaanites, "Move away from where the Amalekites live, or you will die with them. For you showed kindness to all the people of Israel when they came up from Egypt." So the Canaanites packed up and left. Then Saul slaughtered the Amalekites from Avilah all the way to Shur, east of Egypt. He captured Agag, the Amalekites' king, but completely destroyed everyone else. Saul and his men spared Agag's life and kept the best of the sheep and goats, the cattle, the fat calves, and the lambs. Everything, in fact, that appealed to them, they destroy only what was worthless are of poor quality. Mighty God. I'll read another scripture for you tonight. 2 Kings 15. Mighty God. 2 Kings 15, reading verse 9 to 14. Bless the name of Jesus. Bless God. 2 Kings 15, verse 9 to 14. Praise the name of Jesus. Praise the name of Jesus. I think I messed up with that scripture. There is 2 Kings. It's 1 Kings 15. 1 Kings 15, verse 9 to 14. Asa began to rule over Judah in the 20th year of Jeroboam's reign in Israel. He reigned in Jerusalem 41 years. His grandmother was Maacha, the grandmother of Absalom, granddaughter of Absalom. Asa did what was pleasing in the Lord's sight, as is female shrine prostitutes from the land and got rid of all the idols. His ancestor, all the idols his ancestor had made. He even deposed his grandmother, Maacha, from her position as queen mother because she had made an absence Hasharat pole. He cut down her absence pole and burned it in the Kidron Valley. Although the pagan shrine were not removed, Asa's heart remained completely faithful to the Lord throughout his life. Dear Henry, of God's holy word, we all say amen. Tonight, it's a kind of touchy subject, but we are going to get there anyways. I'd like to speak to you on a topic. Let us remove every idol and contrary items. Let us remove every idol and contrary items. Now, the God that we serve, let us be real with this God. He's a serious God. He is interested in our life as a people. He made us and he desires to have us as his own. Now, there's a criteria for you to be who God wants you to be. He laid down in his word our lifestyle, how we should live, how we should operate in this life, not looking for greed or any contrariness, living love, unity, have his benefits and use them for his glory. God's desire for us that we come in complete perfection in his presence. Now, we as a people, sometimes we don't even understand who we really are. And it's a shame to say that people in Christendom now, in this time and age, don't even know who they really are and how they stand as a child of God. We think, and sometimes we believe, that to be a Christian, you can play any game and still remain a child of God. Praise the Lord Jesus. There are some items that we need to get out of our lives so that we can be benefited from God. There are some items that we have in our lives that we got to push them aside and do exactly what God would have us to do. Praise the Lord Jesus. We cannot say that we are Christians and do any and anything, and because Jesus came and grace is there, then we can just take grace as a stumbling block to fall every time, because, you know, if I fall, Jesus will save me, will take me, help me, brush me off, and so on and so forth. But when you willfully do things that is completely contrary to the will of God, you are in trouble with God. Praise the Lord Jesus. Let's remove every idol. Now, we find out that there are a lot of people, they would like to be a Christian, but the idol of their life, they seem to cannot let it go. so as to give complete, you know, complete their life in God as he wants them to be. They have to be holding on to some things, and that's how they want to live their life. They want to dictate to God, but you and I cannot change the recipe of salvation. We got to adhere to what God says. Praise the Lord Jesus. When we look at it, even some of our nice Christian friends dress nice, look nice, but our life does not match up to the requirement of Christ. And the requirement of Christ is to follow the lifestyle of Jesus while he was on earth. And when he left earth, my God Almighty, he left a position with his disciples that we today are to follow. And so if we refrain from following, mighty God, that position that he left us, then we are in serious problem with God. This is not a joke thing, as some people believe. This is not something that we play around with, as some people really believe. But this is reality. And you cannot shift from the reality of God. And God is not going to change anything to say, let me accommodate Brother Brown because, you know what? He do some real good stuff in this life and let me change the whole thing so as to accommodate him. No, God is no respecter of person. God just wants you to follow his footsteps. Now, we read a few scripture here, and when I look into it, God is serious when he give a command. Says one day Samuel said to Saul, listen, when you were anointed king, I am the one who was told to anoint you to be king. I am the one. God used to anoint you as king. And he says, no, listen to the message, this message that God, the Lord, has sent me to give you. This is what the Lord of Heaven's army has declared. I have decided to settle an account with the nation of Amalek. And so, as I decided to settle, I want you, Saul, to go and destroy the complete city of the Amalekites. In other words, God, even Samuel, name out everything to him. Men, women, children, babies. And some of us might look and say, my God, why you go the route of the babies? Yes, God says they have done wrong to Israel. And the babies, they could be sucking on breasts. They got to die. Cattle, sheep, goats, camels, and donkeys. Everything must die. That's a command coming from eternal God. And Saul was there and get ready with his men. Soldiers from Israel and soldiers from Judah. And the Bible says he get ready. There was a little city, the Canaanites. He said, listen, remove from the Amalekites because if you don't move, you're going to die. The Bible says when the Canaanites moved, Saul went down to the Amalekites and he began to destroy. Which was fine. Begin to do the will of God. But the Bible says, when he begin to destroy the main character of the city that he should take out is Agag the king. Praise the Lord Jesus. And he speared Agag and all the fatlings, the fat sheep and goat and those that look really nice, you know. He speared him. Bible says everything, in fact, that appealed to them, they destroyed. Only what was worthless or of poor quality. In other words, they save up the best that they think is the best. And those that were of poor quality was destroyed. Now, right here, you got to look into some things in Christendom. When God give a command, it doesn't matter who want to go against the command of God, you got to stand flat-footed and do the thing the way God wants it to be done. In your life, you can fix up some things in your life and say, God must agree with it. I always talk about it. You can settle some little things in life for yourself and believe. Listen, I'm trying to run this one by God and allow him to agree. No, God said destroy. There are some things that need to be removed. Your idols. Praise the Lord. And contrary items. So there are some items in our life. It is so contrary to the will of God. And Saul desired now to save the things that God said he should destroy. Maybe we should take a look at this very seriously. Because the Bible says when he reached back to his town and was spreading out life and whatever, God sent Samuel again to him to say, listen, did you do what God said? And he said, yes, I have done what the Lord said I should do. Then Samuel said, but I hear the bleating of the sheep. What meant this? I hear the howling of the cattle. What meant this? And when Samuel looked around, he said, if Hagar, the king, you have him here. What are you doing with them? They should die. Praise the Lord Jesus. And so Samuel have to take another step to destroy everything. The Bible says, God says, you see from Saul, disobey me. I reject him as being king over Israel. Now, I don't know about anybody. I don't want to be rejected in my life as a child of God because of my foolish ways, my stubborn will. I want to be saved, so I have to adhere to the things of God. Saul was rejected king over Israel because of his behavior by not doing exactly what God says. Brethren and friends, I want to run this by you and everyone. And if you feel to unmute your mic and say, praise the Lord, that's okay. But we are venturing out into a new era to worship God. And it's going to take every man cleanness of heart on board. It's not going to take some people who is if and butting. It's going to take some people with a right spirit to walk in this newness and this new path that we are trodden. It's going to take some people who are going to forget about themselves and see to the things of God. It's going to take some people who look even on their finances and say, you know what? The work of God must be done. And we are going to do what it is, what it requires to get the business of God going. Praise the Lord Jesus. From the other day, I was looking at the carpet in our church, and there is so much contrariness that has done on that carpet. My thing is, if we're going to be new, we got to report the whole stuff and get something new to sit on. We're not going to sit over some things that shouldn't be there. The chairs we sit on in the sanctuary. I am afraid I have to say this, but we need to put them aside and do everything with a newness. It is the house of God. We got to remove some idols. That place at one point was like an idol worshiping place. And I know some people going to get at me at that, but that's okay. My back is broad to take what it takes. We are going to push aside every idol and things that were contrary in that house and deal with a newness, and everybody have to come on board if you mean Christ anyways. Praise the Lord Jesus. Samuel say you make a wrong move when you carry Agag and the fatlings come to the house. Praise the Lord Jesus. They should be destroyed. They shouldn't have any encounter with where you are. They should be destroyed and forgotten. And so we as a people, let us be wise and destroy and remove every contrary things that may oppose the will of God. Praise the Lord Jesus. Contrary simply means opposite, total different, or in complete disagreement. Some people, we're not going to run people out of church, but you know they're going to remove themselves because they are not in total agreement with what is going on. And so if you find some people, just write a letter and say, I won't be coming back. God bless you, brother, because it's a new thing. And it's going to be a new people, a people with a new heart. God said, I'm going to take out the stony heart and put in a heart of flesh that you can understand your pastor, you can understand the move of God. We don't want a stony heart people with opposing spirit to be contrary in the house of God. Praise the Lord Jesus. Some people refusing to do what should be done. Praise the Lord Jesus. Praise the Lord Jesus. There will always be some contrary sounds and move against the church. If you are worshiping in this church and you figure out there will never be some opposition and contrary move, you're making a mistake. But when we identify people who are contrary to the will of God, we have to sift them out. We are saying to people, you are in church to save your soul. We are saying to everybody who online and listen to the word of God, you are there to save your soul. The word is for you. Change up your life and the idols that we are working with and put them aside and find Jesus, because Jesus will be your source at all time of survival. There are some things left behind, and they must be removed from our life. Praise the Lord Jesus. Praise the Lord Jesus. Praise the Lord Jesus. Yes, Jesus, God says to Peter, you see, upon this rock, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. In other words, just make yourself comfortable, because nobody can mess up the church. It's not that we are warring with anybody, but we are telling people what the word says, that you can't mess up what God has laid down here. You got to work with it. Praise the Lord Jesus. And by working with what God is doing and saying, you become a fruitful child of God. Praise the Lord Jesus. Praise the Lord. Mighty God. We're looking at 1 Kings 15. Mighty God, and verse 9 to 14. Lord, have mercy. It says, Asa began to rule over Judah in the 20th year of Jeroboam, reigning in Israel. He reigned in Jerusalem 41 years. His grandmother was Masha and granddaughter of Absalom. Asa did what was pleasing in the sight of the Lord, and his ancestor, as his ancestor has done, David has done. He banished the male and female shrine prostitutes from the land and got rid of all the idols, not some, all his ancestors has made. He even deposed his grandmother Masha from her position as queen mother because she had made an obscene Asherah pole. He cut down her absence pole burn it in the Kidron Valley. Although pagan shrines were not removed, Asa's heart remained completely faithful to the Lord throughout his life. Now, this is a beautiful passage of scripture to who will understand it. That this young man began to rule the reign in Israel. And the Bible said when he began to reign, he began to tear down some things. You see, we so nice today that we are children of God so much, and Jesus come to love and to forgive. And Brother Brown, we should forgive. And, you know, Brother Brown, so and so, and Brother Brown, so and so. But Brother Brown not going to live in sin with nobody. Sin is just sin. And what is to be torn down is got to be torn down, because God says it, and God don't give his glory to any other. So the Bible says when he began to tear down these groves and all these places, he recognized that his mother was involved in idol worshiping as well. And the Bible says he looked at his grandmother, sorry, and he said, "Grandma, love you much, but you see, when it comes to the things of God, love cut. The sweetness that we used to have, the pies that we used to bake, and all those goody goodies, apple pies and plant and pudding and whatever you used to give me, we cut them right now, because you're not going to be queen in this kingdom anymore." Praise the Lord Jesus. Some people, we find out in our heads now, whether your family is sinful or living a contrary life, but you want them into the ministry when God didn't say it. God didn't say it. But because you are up front in the ministry, you feel that a family member should get the position. Let me tell you something. This not dealing with family member. Jesus don't deal with contrary family member anyways. If you are not right in the sight of God, if you are not anointed or appointed, forget it. Praise the Lord Jesus. Some family members should be pushed aside and let people who are anointed and appointed give God the glory in such position. Praise the Lord Jesus. This young man said, "Mama, Grandma, no. This business of God, we don't deal with family. We don't deal with you being queen. You can't be queen in God's business doing the contrariness. You got to get these idols out of you." Praise the Lord Jesus. And so he dethroned his grandmother. How many of us would look at this situation and say, "Boy, you're right. You're right." Because this is about God. It is not about anything else, but about God. Praise the Lord Jesus. Praise the Lord Jesus. Idol. What is idol really though? An image or other objects that we worship as a God. Anything that you put before God is your idols. Glory to God. Children, job, car, house, family members, as long as you have a tie to them that is so rich above the eternal God, is your idol. And so God is not going to take no second place in such people's life. God don't want to be secondary in nobody's life. God want to have the first place in our lives. Praise the Lord Jesus. Anything that you put above God, that's your idol. A person or thing that is loved or admired very much. We have something that we admire very much. I walk in my neighborhood and some people have some cars and it's their God. You should see them, whether rain or shine, they're just cleaning the thing and just, you know, polishing up the thing. I'm not saying people shouldn't wash their car and clean it up, you know. That's not what I'm saying. But they have nothing to do but cleaning them and just get them so ready for the road. And you say, why? In all my life, I've never seen so much construction. When this COVID hit, Everybody stay home and find so much construction in their house to do. Praise the Lord Jesus. And I said, wow. I hope we just don't take these things as our idol, but we do what is to be done. And if you do what is to be done, that's okay. God says, listen, in Isaiah 42:18, I will not share my glory with another. I want that to start to resonate in your spirit. That anything you do that gives glory to that thing and not God, it's your idol. Some people don't even love to come to the house of God. Some people don't even love to do some things near God. But when it's time to go to work, they run out of the house. They're so committed to their jobs. Because they know, listen, if I go late one or two times, then there's a warning. But because God don't have a big book with the warning sign on it, we just do our things and say, God, you know what? You just feel pleased about this because that's how it is. Telling you people that we are a people, and let us throw away and remove all idols and contrariness that is sticking out in our lives more than the true and the living God. Let us get rid of these things that is so contrary to us, that is burdening us. You know, some people, they always be burdensome and they're burdensome. But sometimes you got to just do a spot check. You will find out that you're giving over to the natural things of life. And you're getting nowhere. And Jesus is behind, you know, you're locked behind with Jesus. You push him aside. And so we need to do a spot check in our life. And get to where we have to go. Yes. Let's remove the idols and the contrary thing. You remember the story of Achan? Achan believed that he could walk along with the children of Israel with the Babylonish garment and the silver and the gold that he steal and hid it behind his in his tent. And he believed it was so good that he's going along with the children of Israel. He feels so comfortable. That he didn't realize that, guess what? Israel will reach a place where they have to check out this thing thoroughly. And so when they go to the city of Ai and think they could do a walkover with that city, Ai caused some of the prize men, prize soldiers to die. You know, and Joshua said, well, what is going on here? And Joshua bowed down and talked to God. God said, man, get up and go search your tent. Sometimes you got to do a spot check with your tent to find out what is it that I have in this place that controlling my life to the point where there's no success. Where I am up today and I'm down tomorrow. Check out, is it my children who is stopping my progress? And some of you might feel bad, I said children, because children can be so out of place that as a man or woman of God, they stop your progress. You start checking them out and start basing your life on them and not on God. And so it becomes your idol. You know, they're not behaving well and you are so concerned rather than praying. You are so concerned and wish you could turn the tide. You can't turn no tide in this generation. Jesus himself has got to turn the tide. You can't do it by yourself. If you could have done it by yourself, you'd have done it already. So find Jesus and ask him to loose up the situation. Praise the Lord Jesus. Praise the Lord Jesus. And it says after Achan was found out, they said there was nothing to stop that from. Listen, this man got to stone, man. We like to get rid of this thing out of the camp. We're not going to travel along. You see, what we are doing, we are so nice today, travel along with some conditions and situations that we should put aside, that we should talk about. that we should get on top of so that the church can go on. Oh, God have mercy, help us here. People don't want to be saved because of the contrary items. You know, some people don't even want to be saved. You ask them why they don't want to be saved. They have so much to tell you. You know, I'm not ready yet. Maybe next year. Maybe, what if God said, maybe next year you won't be here? What if God said, maybe another week you won't be here? All you need to do is get yourself in line with the word of God. When somebody say get saved is not something to kill you. It's just to believe that there's a God and I'm going to change my lifestyle. That's what people don't want to change, the lifestyle. And I don't see what is in the world right now that people cannot change from. Because we're heading down a pathway if you're not careful. Some real rough stuff is going to take place. But the church will be saved. The church is all right. You know, when you drop two lick on the church, Jesus already get those lick already, because the Bible said by his stripe, we are healed, we are delivered, and our help is in Jesus. So you might as well get in Jesus and save yourself. Praise the Lord Jesus. Mighty God, praise the Lord Jesus. Praise the Lord. Some people don't want to baptize. And some say, hey, I ain't gonna baptize in Jesus' name because I baptized already. Well, you have a thing going. You need to learn the truth about this baptism. I'm so glad I was able to do it after I thought I had it. But God changed my life around. There is something in our life that needs to be removed. Yeah. Something in our lives that needs to be removed. And we better get it right with God before the time of too late. 2 Kings 22:1-13. Mighty God. Wow. Josiah was 8 years old when he became king. And he reigned in Jerusalem 31 years. His mother was Jidiah, the daughter of Adadai from Bozkath. He did what was pleasing in the Lord's sight and followed the examples of his ancestor David. He did not run away from doing what was right. In the 18th year of his reign, King Josiah sent Shaphan, son of Azaliah, and grandson of Mesullam, the court secretary, to the temple of the Lord. He told him, go to Hilkiah the high priest and have him count the money the gatekeepers have collected from the people at the Lord's temple. Entrust this money to the men assigned to supervise the restoration of the Lord's temple. Then they can use it to pay the workers to repair the temple. They will need to hire carpenters, builders, and masons. Also, have them buy the timber and the finishing stone needed to repair the temple. But don't require the construction supervisors to keep account of the money they receive, for they are honest and trustworthy men. God Almighty. Don't you feel good when God sent his word to lead somebody? And you can look at some men who is honest to give and do the work of God, who is trustworthy. What we want in Christendom is to have some trustworthy people around us. That what they say, their yea is yea and their nay is nay. What they do, what they accomplish. You can say God sanctioned it because they have done their best. We don't want people who we can't trust and We have to be watching them or watch over our shoulder if they are what they're supposed to be. God's spirit in you, you're supposed to be a trustworthy person. Not too much. Not dealing with certain issues, but you are so in tune with the things of God. The spirit of God is on your life so much that you have to do things right. Praise the Lord. Verse 8. Hilkiah the high priest said to Shaphan, the court secretary, I have found the book of the law in the temple. Then Hilkiah gave the scroll to Shaphan and he read it. Shaphan went to the king and report, your officials have turned over the money collected at the temple of the Lord to the workers and supervisors at the temple. Shaphan also told the king, Hilkiah, the priest has given me a scroll. So Shaphan read it to the king. When the king heard what was written in the book of law, of the law, he tore his clothes in despair. Then he gave these orders to Hilkiah, the priest. Ahikam, son of Shaphan, Akbor, son of Micah, Shaphan, the court secretary, and Asaiah, the king's personal advisor, go to the temple and speak to the Lord for me and for the people and for all Judah. Inquire about the words written in the scroll that has been found. Mighty God. For the Lord's great anger is burning against us because our ancestors have not obeyed the words in the scroll. We have not been doing everything it says we must do. What a word. Send Shaphan, check out the temple. Check out the work. Everything is going on fine. The money is paid. The trustworthy men are there. But we have a little problem. We find a scroll in the temple. Oh, God of mercy. And when we read the scroll, we find out that we come short of the things of God. I want to rest this on your mind tonight. Get back to the scroll, which is the word of God, and see where we have come short. Bible says the man tore off his clothes and he bowed before God in submission and says, Lord, have mercy, our ancestors, they have died and gone, but they didn't do a good job. They didn't do everything that they must do. And we come following after them and didn't understand, oh God, that we too have messed up. That is why there's a new thing now. You cannot follow after whole order because whole order have messed up. Glory, glory. The whole order. Not that we are beating on anybody or that we are saying a word against anybody, but there's a whole order that was never followed. And when Shaphan read the scroll to the king said, mighty God, we have failed, God. More people should have been baptized. More people should have been filled with the Holy Ghost. More things should have happened in Christendom. But guess what? We turn our eyes to temporal things, looking at building, watching food stuff, watching some things that we shouldn't be watching, and we strayed from God. Now this topic of lesson is, let us remove every idol and contrary item from our life now. It's a new day. It's a new order. We cannot follow after the whole thing that have passed and gone. I see people crying. I see people shoving up their mouth concerning the new thing. That's where the contrariness is. And so if you become contrary, you are stopping the word. You become Sambalat and Tobiah in the house of God. We don't want us Sambalat and Tobiah. Sambalat and Tobiah are enemy to the things of God. We don't need them around. Praise the Lord Jesus. I'm sorry. I'm not even sorry. I just let me speak as I'm led. Too much Sambalat and Tobiah sitting in the house of God, not agreeing with what's going on. And they are scared. And they got to be scared because God wants them to be scared. Praise the Lord Jesus. Shaphan said, King, let me read the scroll to you. And the Bible said, when the scroll was read to the king, he said, Mighty God, God's hunger is against us. Well, let me tell you something. You see, with this new work, we don't want the hunger of God to be upon us. So we are going to follow the book to the T and do exactly what God needs us to do. We might have to call a spade. Not might, we have to. We have to tell some people, listen, you're living a fornication life. Get out of it. You're living an adulterous life. Get out of it. Not because the Holy Ghost don't show it up, but we know and understand that some things in Christendom is not right. Oh, God of mercy. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. You cannot drag a Hakon with you wherever you go because you're going to get defeated somewhere on the road. You cannot give a grandma an opportunity to act as queen when she's building idol in the house of God. Mighty God, you can't. And we got to stop some things right in their tracks. Praise the Lord Jesus. Praise the Lord Jesus. I have to speak it as it comes, my friend. I don't care. Praise the Lord Jesus. You have to stop some people in their tracks and call a spade a spade. Listen, you're not behaving well, and you are not of this fold. You are destroying what God is trying to build. And people must realize that they must change and remove the idol from your life. We're not going to go with nobody with no idol trailing behind us. No. Praise the Lord Jesus. Praise the Lord. It's in the word. Don't say Brother Brown preach on me because he knows something about me. Look in the word and you will see it. The king says, we have left and our forefathers have not done what they should have done. We have not been doing everything it says we should do. And if you are honest tonight, some of you could say, listen, some little things going on, and because of that, we are defeated most times. I don't know, but God is just God. And God loves us so much that he wants us to be saved. He loves us so much that he's looking down on us. And he's saying, man, when are you going to change and give me a chance to operate in your life? Oh, God. One last scripture before I close off. And a few people might want to hear me no more, but that's okay. The God of heaven is still on his throne. The Israelites, according to Judges 6 and verse 1 to 32, I won't read the whole scripture, but I will just kind of relate what I know about it. The Israelite did evil in the Lord's sight, so that the Lord handed them over to the Midianites for 7 years. The Midianites were so that Israel's is made hiding place for themselves in the mountain caves and strongholds. Can you imagine that? God give over his own people to the Midianites. And so his own people have to be living in stronghold in caves, in the mountains. Whenever the Israelites planted their crops, marauders from Midian, Amalek, and the people of the east would attack Israel, camping in the land and destroying crops as far away as Gaza. They left the Israelis, mighty God, with nothing to eat, taking all the sheep, goats, cattle, and the donkeys. They emptied their hordes, coming with their livestock and tents, were as thick as locusts. They arrive on doves. They arrive on drove of camels, too numerous to count, and they strayed. They stayed until the land was stripped bare. So Israel was reduced to starvation by the Midianites. Oh God, can you believe it? Then the Israelites cried out to the Lord for help. I want to tell you tonight, before I read a little more down, that if you cry to in your condition, your mentality that you will gotta change. God has the ability to change you from the whole person you are and make you into a new person. But you got to make up in your mind that you need that change and you want to be changed. Because God can only change you when you desire to be changed from the person you are to a new person. Praise the Lord Jesus. When they cry out to the Lord because of Midian, the Lord sent a prophet to the Israelites. He said, "This is what the Lord, the God of Israel, say. I brought you up out of slavery in Egypt. I rescued you from the Egyptians and from all your oppressed, all who oppressed you. I drove out your enemies. I gave you their land. I told you, I am the Lord your God. You must not worship the gods of the Amorites, in whose land you now live. But you have not listened to me." Sometimes it causes tears when you look at people who you are interested in their soul, and you know that they need to be saved, you know that they need to give total commitment to God, and they are playing the fool. They are playing as if you don't know what you are saying, what you are doing. The Lord your God must be worshipped. Look what he has done for Israel. And I'm not going the way of Israel. Look what he has done in your life. Look what he has done in my life. My testimonies, them, some of them you don't even hear them. Because it's only a sovereign God who stay in the heavenlies and stretch his hands of love and take you out of some condition and spat you on the back and say, "Yes, you are my child." It's only a sovereign God. Then the angel of the Lord came and sat, verse 11, beneath the great tree at Ophrah, which belonged to Joash of the clan of Abiezer. Gideon's son of Joash was threshing wheat at the bottom of a wine press to hide the grain from the Midianites. Let me just relate a little thing here to you. So, the Israelis, they have to be running and hiding. And Gideon was a vibrant man who understand the mysteries of God. But at this time for his family to eat little something. He have to be hiding on that tree and to get a little wheat at the wine press so that his people can have a little meal. The angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said, "Mighty hero, the Lord is with you." And that sound cripples Gideon. How could, because he identified, listen, this is a strange voice saying something to him. He understood very well that this has to do with the eternal God. And he asked a question, "Why are you calling me mighty man of valor? Why you express yourself to me as that?" "Sir," Gideon replied, "if the Lord is with us, why has all these happened to us?" In other words, we try to be living, you know, the way God wants us to live, but why these things happening to us? And why we're not understanding, we said we have to be hiding to get like a wheat from our family. What's going on? "Oh God, why did the Lord abandon us over the Midianites?" The Lord turned to him and said, "Go with thy strength you have and rescue Israel from the Midianites. I am sending you." "My Lord," Gideon replied, "how can I rescue Israel? My clan is the weakest in the whole tribe of Manasseh, and I am the least in my entire family." Sometimes when God put the yoke on your brother, you have to, I don't know how people run down position in church, but here's a man of God should be jumping and say, "All right, God, fix me up, make I go and just do what I have to do." But he was sort of saying, "God, I'm the weakest in my family. I don't even know anything. I don't know how to fight. I just have a little wheat here given to my, you know, God." "Well," the Lord said unto him, "so, man have an encounter with God right here. God and man speaking right here. I will be with you, and you will destroy the Midianites as if you were fighting against one man." Gideon replied, "If you are truly going to help me, show me a sign to prove that it is really the Lord speaking to me. Don't go away until I come back and bring my offering to you." Gideon hurried away. He killed a kid and he prepared it with some flour and baked bread and carried some things to the angel. And the angel said, "You know what? Put it on that stone under the tree, dear." And the Bible said the angel take his staff and use the tip of it and touch the sacrifice. And when he touched the sacrifice, fire come and consume it. And everything was burnt up and the angel disappeared out of him. From there on, man get direction from God. I would just stop there and allow you to read the rest at some point in your life. I want to tell you tonight, let us remove the idols and contrary items from our lives. There are something left to be removed, and you know it. I can't go to nobody and say, "You know, you have something to remove." You got to know what you have to remove and do it so as to receive the blessing from the Lord. We go to the literal building and we know something that must be removed. It's not a if. It's a must be removed. And we're asking for everybody to cooperate and let us move some things. But when it comes to our personal life and Jesus, oh God of mercy, you got to remove it yourself. You got to come wholeheartedly and say, "God, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I'm not even worthy to be called by your name. But God of mercy. Yes, have mercy, God." Every time Israel slide into the ditch and they cry out to God, mercy was given. Gideon finds something very helpful in his life. said, if it's you, God, that talk to me, you stay here until I bring my sacrifice. If it's God dealing with you tonight, you lie in your bed or wherever you are and says, God, I am asking you to come and change my whole life. Take away these idols. I'm willing to give them up. I'm going to stop the fornication. I'm going to stop the adulterous life of living. I'm going to change some things and make my life better because I want to be saved. Are you willing to do that? Those who are online even now, are you willing to make that step? Are you willing to just get yourself lined up with God and change the whole movement of your life and accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? Are you willing? You see, it's not a forced thing, you know, and don't let nobody force you to accept Christ. You must be willing and willing and willing to give total commitment to Christ. We can't pay you to be saved because when money finishes, you go and run out of the salvation we will prepare for you. So you got to do it freely. Let the Jesus draw you to him. And when he draws you to him, you will stay with him. Tonight, I want to say it to you. Give total commitment to Christ. Those of you who is playing games, stop playing a game and get yourself lined up in Christ. Remove the old things from your life and begin life anew. God bless you tonight. Thank you for listening. But God bless you. I hope God will change somebody. That there will be a call to the pastor or somebody that says, you know what? I receive and I'm going to give total commitment to God. God bless you in Jesus' name. Back to our pastor. Hallelujah.
Praise the name of the Lord.